Hello, welcome to the All Aussie Mystery Hour. It's Josie, by the way. I sound really sexy, I know. It's because I have a chest infection, the sexiest thing in the world, and I've got the husky voice happening, but it is me, guys. That other deep husky voice you can hear, though, is Henno.
Hi, everybody.
That's James Hennessy.
I know you've all been so excited to hear me come onto the podcast. I heard it's been built up.
Oh, we've been hyping.
Yeah, yeah, we have. I'm here too. I was just really weirdly silent there
Yeah, you
were
just staring at me smiling. It was really nice.
I know, but I was just letting you say about your sickness.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I'd left it too long and it got weird.
Yeah. But yeah, Mel is here.
Henno hasn't replaced me, but he is also here.
But maybe I will. It depends sort of what the audience feedback is like.
And after this, there'll be a fight to the death.
How the group goes with
While
it.
I sit in a throne watching you both.
Because it's very possible they'll like me a lot. Mm. Maybe even more than they'll like Mel.
And
we'll see.
There'll
sort
be
of,
a vote off.
I mean, it'd be why politically.
I don't know.
Really.
Why
do I have immunity here in this Survivor?
That's a good
podcast.
Point, actually. I'm speaking out of turn. It's possible that it will be me liked the most, followed by Mel.
Yeah.
Meaning it becomes a Henno and Mel show.
With Josie.
And Josie
sort of
gets kicked to the curb.
Or maybe it's just you from now on and you just talk about mysteries by yourself.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I have quite the
we'll
passion.
Leave in a
I do have a passion. I just don't, maybe I don't have the passion to keep it going, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
So maybe it should just be you two. Your podcast.
You should just
I'm glad you're allowing
came
us
to that conclusion in the end.
But we thought, you know, it can be fun to have a guest every now and then.
Yeah.
And Henno last year, when we were starting this podcast, said you should do, I don't even know what it's called. You were just like, blah, blah. And we were like, cool. Yep. That sounds like a lot of research.
Yeah.
And it's a case that you're interested in. So you're going to do it. But
first,
Mel has a zesty story.
Oh, I've got such a zesty story. So I just wanted to tell everybody that I was involved in a caper today, like a real fun little...
Like Ocean's
11, but really pathetic.
Ocean's and 3, because there's 3 of you involved.
Yeah. Well, it is definitely Ocean's 3, but it's also like the most pathetic version of it ever. So basically my friend, who is mild level of an idiot... but a delightful one. She bought one of those fridges that you buy from like, just like, you know, it's kind of probably dodgy and like...
fell off the back of a truck. Vibes.
Yeah. And like the name of the person was like John Jodperson or something. Like it was, but it was literally like...
John Jodperson.
Well, I was like, I don't want to say the real name because the caper's not over and what if they're listening?
Sure. Sorry.
But it was just like a fake name where it was like the first name. Like it would be like... James Jameson, if it was you. You know?
I kind of prefer John Jodperson. That's pretty funny.
But anyway, like, it was just like nothing about this seemed legit when she was retelling me the story after shit had gone down. Because basically she got the fridge. It came from like a warehouse, inverted commas. It got delivered. It looked all new. Mm-hmm. And they said that you have a 3-year warranty. But then they're like, but we'll give it to you. Like, we'll send it over in the mail. And, of course, it never fucking comes. And then the fridge breaks, like, 2 weeks in. And she's like, hey, like, you know that warranty? And they're like, yeah, it's coming. And then now they're not answering her calls. And so, basically, she now wants to, like, turn up, like, a current affair style, like,
yes,
turn up in
door
person
knocking. Yeah.
To be like, you fucking owe me that warranty or a fridge. I don't know what she thinks is going to happen if she shows up on their doorstep. But she was like, but I need someone else to get me the address because they obviously know who I am.
Yes.
And she's like, I need you to... like message them on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh my God.
And be like, hey, like I really want to buy this fridge. And so I made up
where
the
are
best
you based?
Story. I know. Like literally I made up a whole story. I was like, oh, like me and my partner, we can't come till Saturday at 11 AM. But like we want to pay in cash. Can we pay in cash when we get there?
Yeah.
And like just like coming up with all these little fabulous details
and
about my
fridge
caper.
And you changed your scream name to Mel Melverson for the occasion.
Mel Melverson.
I should have. I really should have, but no, I didn't. That would have been real commitment to the caper, though, if I had changed my Facebook name. But, yeah, in the end, actually, I'm in a little bit of a stalemate because right now, as of recording this podcast, I haven't gotten the actual address off
yet.
But I know the suburb.
Maybe he's checking you to see if you're legit.
I reckon he is. I reckon – well, I was like to my friend, I was like –
but you're a mutual friend
You can
her.
See the mutual friend, but then she's not friends with him. So I suppose
– right.
Anyway,
yes.
That's the boring side of the caper. The point is I was pretending to want a fridge and I'm a terrible liar, guys.
Yeah, but you did it.
I think it's pretty easy to get into the mindset of someone who wants a fridge. like it's not like a huge acting job.
It's very low-level ASIO.
It's very low-level.
My
low
ASIO
level.
Dreams.
It's not like a huge backstory
level.
To learn.
Yeah. No, you don't have to do like the Stanislavski method to work out how to get into the mind of a person who wants to own a fridge.
Well,
many of us live that life every single day, you know.
So wait, didn't Amy originally go and get the fridge from the place?
No, so they delivered it to her. Okay. So they delivered her the fridge, and then the guy was like to me, "Oh, we'll deliver it." He like kept pushing the delivery thing, but then I was like, "Oh no, we've got a ute." See, because now in my fantasy life, me and my partner that are buying a fridge have a ute as well.
Yeah.
It's getting more creative, Hedo. The more elements also, you add to a lie, the more complex it becomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the whole
too thing complicated, you're going to forget it all. On Saturday when you go without your partner, you'll be like, where's the ute? Oh, wait, you're not actually going.
No, I'm not. She's going.
But like you would forget everything. The wheels would fall off.
But isn't that what they say about like if you're going to make a lie that you should make it mostly truth?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going to say like.
Who says that?
People should be simple.
Just people.
It should be simple people. And like easy to remember.
You don't want to get caught in a web of lies.
It's too much.
That's for sure.
The web of lies. That's
dangerous.
What I fear.
That's dangerous.
Well, that was a zesty little grimy caper.
I just wanted to celebrate about
really
it.
I really hope
excited.
Amy gets her
about
justice.
Well, I'm kind of a bit worried because I'm sort of like, where is this going from here? Like, even if I get you the address, what are you going to do?
I think you're going to go in a downwards dark spiral when you can't no longer tell the difference between what's true and what's not. You start living this fake life.
I have a ute
life.
And you start dating all these guys trying to find the perfect partner that you imagined. Like, that's where I see it.
I had a darker vision of the future, which was that Amy then like snaps and commits a murder of this man.
Oh, wow.
Much more in line with this podcast. More in line.
Yeah, no, totally.
And then I feel somewhat to blame because I got the address. This would be the perfect premise for a really terrible like D-grade movie.
Yeah, like a lifetime movie. Yeah. The cold truth.
Like a
play on cold.
Yeah.
Yes. Like with the fridge. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The frozen truth.
Yeah.
Frozen truth.
No.
Frozen justice.
Frozen justice on ice.
Justice on Oh, wow.
Did you have any fun stories?
I have
Either
a fun story. It's
oh,
a
what's
really
your story?
Fun story. On May the 3rd at 7:30 p.m.
Oh, my God.
We're doing a live show of the All Aussie Mystery Hour podcast. That's right, folks. It's happening. It's official. You can actually get fucking tickets now.
You can.
It's crazy.
So
it's like the third iteration of the Facebook event.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mel got excited and just was like, here's a hint of an idea and here's the event and here now you can actually get the tickets.
Don't ever let me do anything.
We already hyped the show on the podcast, but there were no other details.
No.
So our listeners were like, are there any other details? Yeah, we're like, no, calm down. But it's like, to be fair, we really didn't give them much.
No.
Now we have details. Mm-hmm. Giant Dwarf in Redfern in Sydney. So all those people going, why not Melbourne? Why not Glenelg? Dolls, we live in Sydney, so like literally 15 minutes away from Redfern. So
this is the affordable version.
Affordable version. Yep. If this goes well, hint, hint, everyone in Sydney, come and see us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can look at expanding it to your Melbournes. Yes.
We might
your
buy
Hellmouths.
Jetstar flights.
Yeah.
And head on down. Like cheap ones, like those dollar ones that they sometimes do.
Yeah. So go to giantdwarf.com.au.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure that's the website.
Yeah.
Or if you just search Giant Dwarf Redfern, you'll find the website. That always seems easier to me.
Yeah. Because I'm just thinking if you're not a group member, because group members would already know this, that's our Facebook group, All Aussie Mystery Hour podcast, of which Heno is a vocal member.
Yeah, no, I like to get in there.
You've
get
commented
stuck in.
Maybe 2 to 3 times.
Yeah, I think maybe even more times. I think I've commented maybe 5 times.
Wow, that's huge.
I think 3 of them were
conversation
hyping my
starter.
Appearance today.
Yes, right.
the other two were comments about Jeffrey Dahmer, which I got so badly roasted
Your
for
mate.
In the office that I've just never wanted to weigh in again.
Sorry.
My spirit is broken. It's shattered. It's a shock I'm even on the show, to be honest.
By me telling
after your mate
is Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, after my shoddy treatment. But anyway,
sorry.
No,
thanks for coming.
It's quite all right. No, not a problem at all.
So go get your tickets, buy them.
They're
got
$20.
Time. $20.
It's nothing.
Like
it's like five coffees.
You could fart and $20 could fly out of your ass. It's nothing.
How many times do you lose $20 on a night out? Every week for me.
It's
every
like,
fucking week.
It's like a big salad at lunch.
It
$20.
Yeah, it's
like when
salad.
You splurge on like the fur and it's got like beef in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you get the burrito bowl with avocado and the extra cheese topping.
Yeah,
and
the sour cream.
Chips.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, I need that
That's
again.
Pushing $20.
Yeah. Or you get like a McDonald's meal and you're like, oh, I'm a little bit hungrier than this. I'm going to get a six-pack of nuggets as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you're like, it's $23 now.
Yeah.
For less than that, you can be
you
going
to
see
could go and be entertained by the three of us.
Yeah.
For at least an hour and a half.
Because Heno is opening
for
us.
Yes, he's going to open
We don't
for
know
us.
What he's doing because I said stand up and then I got supremely roasted by both Heno and Josie for this.
Yeah.
I just assumed
that any comedy thing would stand up. Well, it's just stand up.
I didn't know. I was picturing them doing Amy Schumer like full set where he's like
with like a top hat on,
like shrugging into the microphone.
With a cane and shit like that.
You know what I mean?
A Netflix special of James Hennessy.
Yeah, like The Artist or something. Come out and do like a full song and dance.
In my eyes, it's Heno comes out, he tells a few jokes.
Yeah.
Maybe around crime, mystery.
Yeah. It's like when you go to the
studio. Roast us a little bit.
Yeah, the studio audience, like a show, and like the warm-up guys come out.
Yeah. That's what I was picturing. It's not like a full set. What's the deal with airline food?
Yeah, I'm actually, this is my Netflix special. I'm filming all of it before all
James Hennessy growing.
Like 50 minutes. Yeah.
Imagine you just took over the whole like hour and a half that we have,
and everyone's and crying like, with laughter, cheering. You go off, they boo, they leave, they carry you out, they carry you up in the air.
Like
we did Selfish Weekend, and a couple of people got up and left during our Saturday.
We saw you, if you it was you. Which
but
it
you know
be,
what? I thought
listening.
I was going to cry when that happened. I didn't because I thought, you know what, this isn't for them, and that's fine. But if you get up after Heno and you leave, then fuck you all.
I mean, I just don't think anyone's going to pay $20 to come see us and then leave.
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you're surprised by the way a night out goes.
Like,
and
they might love what I'm putting down.
By which you mean that they follow you out into the courtyard and you do your own.
Yeah, like the Pied Piper. Leaving into the side of a mountain, you know? Maybe, I don't know.
Okay. Well, should you tell us about this fucking mystery that I can't pronounce the name of?
Okay. Well, I mean, I pitched this one a very long time ago to Josie when she said, what kind of mystery would you want to... Well, no, you were soliciting mysteries, weren't you? That you could talk about.
I was like, this is one that I think is pretty cool.
Mm. And I was immediately shot down. And here I am, 6 months later or whatever it is, bringing it to you to talk about.
No research from us. This has been great.
It's been such a relaxing Josie week.
I did all my research over the past 45 minutes, so there's going to be some gaps.
This is there very might be Mel some, areas
There
of
might
you.
Be some... Mm. Just some things that are not correct.
But you know what? You've never listened to the podcast, which I'm deeply offended by.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get the vibe.
But it's not, as I always tell people, it's not fucking Case File. I literally say that every episode. So it's fine.
I had my little keyboard here and I was going to do some like rumbling like synth notes.
Yes, so it's gonna and be like, the weird violin in the background.
And then I'm going to be like, I'll do his like weird voice like, he entered the room or whatever it is. You know, however the Case File guy talks.
What was the one you said he started putting on the voice of the killer?
The Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
Which you don't love.
I mean, that's the only Case File episode I've actually listened to.
Because he's like, I'll kill you and you look sexy when you're doing... He starts dirty talking to rape.
I don't know if it's...
In the voice and I'm like, oh, no.
I'm happy to be corrected, but it just seemed like he was taking some like sick pleasure in describing what was going on. And I was like, it's not for me.
Mm.
It's not for me. I'm much more of an Aussie Mystery Hour person.
I've never listened to it.
Which you've never listened
no,
to.
No. Ever. But like my girlfriend, Ali, she listens. She's probably listening right now. And she gives me like an abridged version of what went on. So I'm
which
basically
is how it should be. I was just telling Josie that this morning, Tom from our video team was retelling me a case.
Mel's so into this case, she just threw her water
bottle.
Just
threw her drink bottle at the wall. Yeah.
Just threw it at the wall in excitement. He was retelling me a Case File case, and he is quite a rambling, sort of dreamy, off with the fairies kind of guy.
Space cadet vibes.
Space cadet,
And it was so enthralling because it was way more exciting than listening to every detail about it. I just wanted the top line. Give me the top line.
And then you were like, Tom just told me a case about MSN. I'm like, Mark and John. Case file. And you were like, whoa.
But it was like, I was cooking my porridge, and for that 3 minutes of cooking.
He had me hooked.
But anyway, sorry.
Incredible.
As an aside.
No, that's a good
one. We love an aside. We should know.
No, that's a good one. And the other thing I wanted to say about not listening to the podcast is that I do listen to both of you 8.5 hours a day.
True. Every day.
So I don't actually like to do it on my private time, which is when I sort of engage in leisure.
Yes.
And, have dinner and things like
and
that.
And don't want to hear two shrieking voices.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Sorry, that was
very harsh.
Anyway.
Go on. The floor is yours until we make a zesty aside.
So the heart of the mystery is 28th of May, 1993.
Yep.
Out in Western Australia, so the middle of nowhere. There's like up the on the highways that sort of run through the desert out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like truck drivers and gold prospectors around there saw the sky like illuminated with all these bright flashes, and they heard like the distant aliens. Rumble of like explosions, right?
Oh.
And it was reported all across the area around there. Some people said they saw like a big fireball in the sky.
Holy fuck.
Holy fuck, right?
Yeah.
So pretty crazy.
And it's really flat out there. So like it would be seen, whatever's going on would be seen.
It's so dark. Mm-hmm. There's no light pollution from
was
the cities.
Was this at night?
It was at night, yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Anyway, so it was one of those things where it sort of just happened. A bunch of truckies obviously called in and were like, I saw something crazy. And whether there were any investigations of what happened, they were probably like fairly casual. No one, there was no like huge scandal about these big sort of like explosions that were happening. Anyway, this is 993, 28th
yes.
of May.
Yes.
4 years later.
Oh.
Sorry, not 4 years later. Let me consult
I was
with my notes.
Say, so this is my a lazy
you
investigation.
Are me.
2 years later. Sorry, 2 years later, 1995. Sorry, my dramatic reading is out the window now that I've got all these dates wrong. There was the sarin gas attacks on the Tokyo subway. Right?
Oh, yes, I know what this is now. Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
Which killed 12 people, injured
very
another
bad.
50, like very bad. Anyway, so in the investigations that sort of spread around that, they realized that Om Shinrikyo, which was the cult.
Is that how you say it?
Om Shinrikyo, yeah.
I was always saying it Om Shinrikyo.
This is why I haven't mentioned what the case is yet,
because
I don't fucking know how to say it.
So I was going
to
say Om Shinrikyo, and I don't think that was that far away from
No, it was actually not that bad.
What is it?
Om Shinrikyo.
Om Shinrikyo.
Correct.
Yeah. There's a lot of eyes. So
yeah, there's a lot going on there. And to be honest, I did that thing where you go on YouTube and you look up the pronunciation, and it has the word up on the screen, and then like this nice, pleasant female voice goes, Om Shinrikyo, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you know. Anyway, so after that happened in 95, people were in the investigations around it, which were kind of global. Obviously, the Japanese government investigated it, but so did a lot of other people, because this was like
it was
a massive terrorist attack.
Yeah, yeah.
They realized that Om Shinrikyo, around the same time, back in 1993, had owned a cattle station out in Western Australia.
Oh my God.
So weird.
Called Banjawan.
So this is a Japanese cult.
A Japanese cult, yeah. And they owned this enormous cattle station out in Western Australia called Banjawan Station, which is one of the biggest, it's in the top like 50 or something cattle stations in Australia. And obviously some of the ones that make up at that list are massive, like the size of the United Kingdom or whatever.
Yeah, they're huge.
So it's huge.
Holy
they,
hell.
They owned that. So people were like, a guy by the name of, I can't remember what his name is, I've got it here somewhere, Harry Mason. He's an Australian geologist. Basically went to the AFP and ended up going to the American government as well and was like, I think that they were actually, they detonated a nuclear bomb out there.
Well, yeah, because they would have said, so this is in 95?
Yeah.
The 2 years later, when the sarin gas attacks happened.
Yeah, so after that.
I love that
correct.
You're like shuffling your papers.
I'm shuffling my papers like, what was it, 1995, 1997? What's going on? Yeah.
Okay, so 1995. So the sarin gas attacks happened and now they're investigating. And then this is when they're starting to go, wait a minute.
Hang on a sec.
They owned this thing. Wait a minute. Now we're remembering these sightings.
Well, they're basically, they pulled, because whether or not this nuclear bomb explosion happened, and it probably didn't. Let's be honest. So we can end the episode. They were using the sheep station out there, or the cattle station, for to test the sarin gas.
And sarin gas doesn't explode.
No, it doesn't explode.
It's like
it's a poison.
Gas?
It's a chemical weapon. It's a poison. So basically, what they just to take it back a little bit, a bunch of the cult members boarded all these subway carriages, which were going underneath the Japanese Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Or like intersecting with it, and they had bags full of the sarin dust or powder, and they basically dropped them all throughout the train and punctured them with their with umbrellas, and then just got off the train.
Oh my God!
And so you can do that quite subtly, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, and then so
The trains in Japan are like
Like
basically molesting everybody near you
unintentionally.
No,
it's well, like actually, there was a guy that
oh no,
he got done for he'd put his hands up against women's bums, and just you just think, oh, he's a bit close to me, whatever, it's his bag. Yeah. It was his hand, and he got arrested for
good,
doing that.
Because like, that that's fucking how close shit kills me.
It's like you're like a sardine. So basically it's easy to drop a bag and get off, and
yeah,
you've affected yeah. so yeah. many people.
So yeah. So that's how they did it, and then all the cult members would get off the train.
And 12 people died?
12 people died. 50 people were like really badly injured, and 1,000 people lost their vision.
Shit.
Oh my god.
And a lot of them a lot of it came back. So okay, like it was temporary right. for a lot of them. But like 1,000 people were like all like blinded basically. And a lot of people, you know, would get off the train, go to work, start doing whatever, and then later would realize they'd been poisoned.
Oh, oh shit. God. So it's not that's instant. Awful. Yeah, can we yeah. so sarin gas.
Yeah.
So puncturing the powder.
So yeah, it basically this powder releases this gas.
Releases the gas,
and it's
right,
in these
right.
bags. And when they puncture it, it just slowly leaked out.
Okay.
So it took a while for it to start actually getting people. But the crazy thing is, and one thing that people don't often mention when they're talking about those attacks, is that about 10 months earlier they did it to a first attack mm-hmm. before the Tokyo one, which also killed 8 people.
Oh really?
And they were targeting judges who were ruling on like a real estate case related to the cult.
Right. And
they basically tried to kill all these judges by releasing sarin gas in this apartment building where all the judges lived. I don't know quite understand what the arrangement was there.
Oh, right.
It sounds like
maybe through the
a cool party sitcom, judge house.
Sitcom sort of thing. But I don't think any of the judges, actually died, but 8 other people did.
Okay, yeah, but 8 people died. So I should probably should have 8 made people my died. Funny yeah, yeah, yeah. judges sitcom joke.
And another dude got falsely implicated in that, and they didn't actually realize it was the cult until... the Tokyo one's a year later, and they were like, wow, it's probably
together.
The same guys, to be honest.
Can I ask something, and forgive me if I'm jumping ahead and spoiling
no, that's right.
stuff? Like, actually just stop me like Mel does when I'm about to spoil something.
Yep.
But when you say they owned one of the top 50 stations,
yep.
does that mean in size or like productivity? Like
size. Just like in terms of sheer size.
So they weren't actually using it as a business
no,
to make
like
money.
They were. They. I mean, this isn't spoiling anything. They actually were... like raising sheep. They had like a farm manager
what?
Who was like managing the farm, like to keep like the front going.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
while they were
yeah.
testing capabilities. So there was a guy, and the guy, I don't know a whole lot about him, but apparently he was like, I had no idea they were.
What the fuck? So wait, so this is an Aussie guy who's like,
I don't know if he was Australian or not.
Okay.
He might. I'm actually not sure a lot about this person, but eventually he was like, oh, I had no idea they were doing any of this. I was just managing the farm part
of
it.
I'm just looking after the
yeah.
cows.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. And I think they only actually brought that in when investigators came over, just out of raw curiosity about the fact that, because they obviously they weren't like, hey, we're a cult. We're a big,
yeah.
crazy Japanese cult, and we've yeah. got to buy these yeah. massive tracts of land. And the government was like, well, okay, I suppose you can do that.
Hand over your yen.
They came as like a front company, like
yeah.
still Japanese, like but like a front legitimate sort of arrangement. And
Death Cult Incorporated.
Yeah, like Death Cult Inc. Exactly.
Yeah. Like DCI Industries. That's like, I did Death Cult Inc.
Yeah.
Played you.
And I think they only started actually running the farm properly when the Australian government was like, what are you doing out there?
Yeah,
and they were like, oh, we're shearing sheep.
They've got one sheep. Get the sheep.
This is poor, like singular sheep. Just like, yeah. fuck. It's been sheared so many times.
They're like, the wool is like a centimetre long. We can shear him
yeah,
again.
Yeah, go for it. He's like, oh, fuck.
Make smoking. Him walk near the highway a lot. Just walking up and down the highway. Just one shorn sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and one thing to remember as well is that they could do all this because they had an unbelievable sort of, they had a huge number of assets. Like before they started killing people,
mm-hmm.
they were kind of a lot like the Japanese Scientologists.
Okay.
Like a right. lot of people thought they were very, very dodgy, and there were lots of like stories about what they used to do to people who were dissenters or whatever, but they were still like largely illegally operating.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
and give me your money. Like, because
they're
Scientologists. So they're a cult, but they're not like Jonestown vibes of a
no,
cult.
No, no. They were very much like legitimized. They were kind of, they're basically like a Buddhist cult.
Okay.
So they started out as like a Buddhist sect, and then they started bringing in other aspects to their thing, which got a little bit weirder and weirder. They grabbed bits of like Christian apocalyptic
yeah.
sort of stuff.
Yes.
The guy who ran it, who was a pharmacist named Shoko Asahara, said that he was like the reincarnation of Christ and things like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's gonna get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they brought lots of cool things, and they taught all their followers like all the cool stuff, like, oh, you know, the Jews control the world, the Freemasons control the world, the British royal family are evil, like really, oh, good, just literally, yeah, literally a grab bag of all the best cult stuff.
Yeah.
Like literally anything, when you think of a cult and you picture it, they were like doing that.
Okay, good.
And like they even had like the sci-fi novel connections, like the
So it's like the greatest hits of cults.
Literally a greatest hits of all cults, but they actually managed
to
a checklist
kill a bunch of people, which is something that a lot of cults don't, you know, get to the level of doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. So wait, so they started out less psycho and got more psycho.
Yeah, well, because Buddhists don't even kill flies and these guys are killing people on trains.
They started off like doing weird, scary cult stuff, but in like a sort of restrained level. Okay. To the level that most of the people in Japanese society were like, wow, these guys are really, really, really strange. Mm-hmm. But and they're still around, which is a something that a lot of people don't realize as well. They've changed their name. They're called Aleph now, and they say that they're not violent anymore.
They say that.
They say that. And they have 1,500 members at the moment.
Wow.
I mean, were they at their peak? Sorry.
No, that's right.
I don't know what... I actually don't know what they were at their peak. I should probably know that. But it was... There were a lot. Yep. Like, think of it as like Scientology levels of people. Like, just like... Obviously... And they had like New York offices. They had offices around the world and stuff like that.
So it's not actually that weird that they came over and bought...
Yeah. I mean, like obviously, they still did that as under a front. Yeah. And they'll do a lot of this stuff under a front. But it wasn't like... They weren't showing up in like hoods and robes and...
Well, then...
but like basically they had like $1 billion in assets.
That's
like
what I was going to say. If you've got offices in New York, you got some fucking money.
They had a lot of money, basically. But when later on when the AFP, after all this happened, came and investigated Banjo-1 Station, they found all the evidence... like in the soil and on some of like the remains of animals out there, that basically they had come over and they were testing the sarin gas on sheep, basically.
Oh, that's so mean.
Poor woolly babies.
Test it on yourselves, you fuckers.
Might defeat the purpose, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe don't.
Oh, it works really well.
Don't test it on anyone. Yeah.
Woo! I can't see anymore, but it works so well.
I'm dead, but it worked.
I mean, because like one of the weird things about their sort of belief system is they think that everyone's going to hell unless you're a member of the cult or you're killed by someone who's a member of the cult, which is just an insane thing to believe. And it's just going to lead to problems.
If you introduce that
into your belief system, you're going to do something bad.
I mean, I'm surprised that these, like, was the killing of the judges the first violent thing they did?
Yeah, there were other... smaller crimes with people that were members who like murdered people or whatever, but it wasn't
just smaller murders,
you know, just like a murder here, murder there,
low key murders.
You know, every group's done it, everyone's indulged.
We've all done a murder here and there,
it's just a casual murder.
Yeah.
So I was gonna say, like, surely that would lead to some really big issues of like, you know, oh, well, my loved one doesn't believe. I'll just kill her to make sure she goes to heaven with me
so
when
we can
I die.
Hang out in heaven.
I would just think that would happen
rather than
a lot.
Here,
yeah. Because like,
it's not good.
One of the things, this I hadn't actually heard of this until I was like
researching five minutes ago.
But you know, I knew a lot of this stuff. I didn't know the exact details and dates, whatever. But one thing I didn't realize is that there was an attack on January this year from a guy who was like a sympathizer of the group in its current thing, who basically like ran into a group of pedestrians in his car.
Shit.
Nobody died, but nine people were injured. But basically, this guy came out like after he was arrested and was like, "Yeah, I'm doing it as a tribute to these people."
Okay, don't do that.
Don't do that.
And also, they're not even wanting him to do that.
Yeah,
as far as
they
I mean, we don't know. I suppose.
Themselves when he did that.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, go, bro.
It was because the lead dude Shoko Asahara was executed last year.
Oh.
Like midway through last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
We
wrote about it.
Well, I think we wrote about it. Like with six other people or whatever.
Right.
Executed
like in the group. Death penalty.
Like
vibes?
Death penalty, okay, yeah. They got the death penalty back in like 1990, whatever. And they were just on death row for a very long time in Japan.
Right.
I'm not quite sure how Japanese death row works or how their death penalty works.
So he was implicated for the sarin
gas attack. For the sarin gas stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Masterminding it. Charles Manson style.
And I think that was why the guy did the car attack at the beginning of this year. It was kind of like as a revenge for them being executed.
Right.
So anyway, there's lots of, it's obviously a very crazy belief system. Yes. I think I feel pretty comfortable in saying, I don't know about you guys.
I feel comfortable in saying this is, they're bad.
They're bad.
And it's probably not a good idea to join the
cult.
On
Shinrikyo, if any of you were thinking, you know, I'm looking for meaning in my life.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for a higher purpose.
Yeah.
Read a different book.
Just do choose something, another path.
Get into different. Footy. That's what I did when I needed something to do.
That's so much
that's
safer.
Your religion.
Yeah, that's my religion now. Yeah. Men in tiny clothes.
Yeah.
And drinking cider at like 2 p.m. in broad daylight while shoving a pie in my mouth. Mm.
Yeah.
That it's to me religion. Is something I can get behind.
I don't think
that's
going to end up anywhere bad.
Yeah.
Surely. You could become like an AFL hooligan.
Yes. That's probably as violent as it could get. But I'm
and
not
AFL
gonna...
hooligans are so much more chill than like league hooligans.
They're like, I'm going to throw my pinky ring at you. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I'm going to like whip you with my like nice fancy country road scarf, you know.
Not yeah, like or R.M. Williams. Now I'm just talking about Sydney Swans fans because I hate them. Yeah, a lot of them are very bogan.
Can I ask a question about the farm? Not the farm, the station.
Yeah.
So when the AFP, which I did... It took me a small amount of time to work out was the federal police.
The feds.
And also, I only just found out the difference between them and the normal popo.
Well, yep. They're the FBI of Australia, right?
Well, basically, this is actually kind of funny that this it came up earlier this week because as some of the audience probably would have realised, the our friend Egg Boy this week, egging Fraser Anning, the thing, it brought up, a lot of people started talking about sort of like the history of... politicians getting egged in Australia, and a lot of people don't realise that the AFP actually formed literally because of an egging
incident.
Are
you serious?
Yeah. Basically, it was the Prime Minister at the time, Billy Hughes. I think it was Billy Hughes.
Who the fuck is Billy Hughes?
He was like an early 20th century Prime Minister of Australia. And he was in Queensland, and he got egged, and he basically told the Queensland cops, like, arrest that guy, and they were like, nah. And he was like, what the fuck? I'm gonna form my own police force.
An anti-egging task force.
There was basically that event exposed the tension between sort of like state jurisdiction, federal one.
Okay.
And you realize that like we don't have a federal police force in Australia. So it was formed as a result of that.
That's fascinating.
So and it's literally right on the AFP's website if you go to like our history. They outline the egging incident that started it all.
How many politicians have been egged?
It's something that used to happen a lot more just like across the world. Like politicians getting egged is something that doesn't really happen a whole lot anymore. But it was, and that's why like a lot of discussion this week's been like, oh, is it violence to egg someone?
Mm.
And it's like back in the day, like, it definitely would not have been considered that way. Like, if a politician was egged back in the 60s and 70s, no one would be having these big, crazy debates about, was this, like, an
act
of
assault? Are we encouraging teens to assault people?
But it just doesn't really happen that much anymore.
Yeah, so then, obviously, the conversation... Yeah.
It's because the AFP are there now.
Yeah.
And they can stop people being egged.
They hate eggings. They just hate it.
Yeah,
the
sorry.
AFP is across the road from our work.
Yeah, they are.
Actually. Are they?
They're going to come in and egg us.
They will.
Like, stop talking about us like that.
The Sydney office of the
AFP. We're important.
They'll be like, we're retaliation egging you for talking about us not liking egging. This exposing just shows you how much we love egging. Yeah.
Well, it feels a lot less probo to endorse him than the bloke that headbutted Tony Abbott. As much as I love that, that is violence. Like you can then say that's a physical act of assault.
Yeah. I mean,
Also, Fraser Anning then punched him like twice in the face. So I feel like we're not talking
about the right
for
assault, then Egg Boy can come for assault. We got way off track then.
Oh, we anyway, did. Sorry. What I was actually going to ask
you.
You
were going to say about the
farm? No, it was a question about the farm.
Yeah.
Was when the AFP went, was it still fake functioning as a farm?
I believe so.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. When the... you mean after the attacks?
Yes.
After the attacks, they had sold it and it had moved on.
So they basically had it just to test
their stuff,
they sold it way before they were going to actually...
Yeah, they had it for 12 months, I think. So not long at all. But when they because the AFP visited them while they were there, this was, I think, around the time they actually started doing it, making it into a real station. They found like a whole bunch of like bizarre stuff. Like they found... like computers and like scientists working there. Basically like a makeshift like lab arrangement, which is not what you would expect to find in the cattle station. I'm not sure how they got out of that exactly.
They're like, we're just sciencing about sheep.
We're McLeod's daughters, but like smart.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like McCloud's daughters mixed with like not CSI.
I was going to say CSI.
Kind of CSI.
Just like computers tapping.
Yeah, exactly. The funny, the thing that I find is when they first flew to Australia, which was in 1993 or whatever, they brought a whole bunch of like mining equipment and like scientific equipment. Like, says among the baggage was a mechanical ditch digger, picks, petrol generators, gas masks, respirators, and shovels. It's like really strange stuff.
How the fuck did they get allowed in with that?
But the funny thing is, I think they had to pay $20,000 in excess baggage fees.
Fucking Jetstar. They went around then.
So it's like you're trying to get your mechanic, your petrol generators and gas masks and stuff through there.
God, how did they get through border security?
Yeah,
with all that
I don't
shit.
Know what the go is.
It was probably
there.
Just like one of those people at the desk. You know how they get so much joy out of slapping you with that fee?
Yes.
The person at the desk is probably like, oh, "That's going to be $20,000," and didn't bother flagging that it was alarming.
Yes.
Just said it was heavy.
Yes.
Oh, I got $20,000 today. I'm getting a bonus.
And maybe they get a little bonus when they like charge you.
Yeah.
Here's another thought that I've had. Unless you want to keep going.
No, please.
So the other thought that I had was. Like that part of Western Australia, because I actually drove, I was going to go and look at the station when I was on my trip, but it's literally like you said, it's like the size of a small country.
Yeah.
So like, even if you went up to the gate, that's all you'd get
it's
to see.
It's just
like
the gate with some dirt.
And I don't even think it's like, it's not called the same, none of it's the same anymore. So I was like, no, this is a waste of my driving time.
I think it would be.
But how insane must those extreme temperatures have been?
Oh, yeah.
For them, because that heat out there is like relentless. Like it's like 40 plus, dry.
They wouldn't be used to
constant
that.
Sun. Doesn't really rain. It's desert. You know,
because it gets quite humid at night in Japan, in but not those levels of heat.
Mm. Yeah, and they obviously would deal with the cold, but not like it's like is Japan humid?
Yeah, yes. It get really hot.
It's yeah,
but in a steamy kind of way. Not
this is like dry,
searing, dry heat.
And like, I don't know what their set up is like.
I'm picturing
like
them sweating over their lab.
Yeah. I feel sorry for them while they were engineering a mass murder.
I feel so sorry for these mass murderers.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason why people were so like, because there was a New York Times article in 1997, January 21, that was called Seismic Mystery, and this is the headline, Seismic Mystery in Australia, Quake, Meteor, or Nuclear Blast.
Mm.
And this is the first time it kind of came to international attention. That it was actually sort of reported. So it's in 1997. So it was a couple of years after the fact of when this was going through the AFP and like the American authorities and whatever. Literally almost entirely on the testimony of this one Australian geologist who was kind of like, you know, I detected these things back then. There's all these eyewitness accounts of seeing like flashes and fire and what have you. And his like crazy little thought bubble found itself like at the very highest points of like American security state. Because the reason it's so scary is that there's never been any evidence ever of a non-state actor or like not a non-military, non-government actually having a nuclear bomb.
Right.
Like it's just not been done before.
Oh, as in like not a like a country.
Terrorists
Yeah. So obviously there's an international treaty which mediates who is allowed to have a nuclear bomb right now.
Yes.
And there's like 6 or 7 countries. I'm trying to remember which ones they are, but there's
well-behaved countries.
I mean, like, well, technically, but there are obviously non-well-behaved countries that have them too. There's a lot of like, I mean, who has nukes? America, Russia, China.
Oh, there's 3 badly behaved.
Yeah.
India, Pakistan, Israel, probably. I think they're the major. Oh, France and the UK also have them.
Terribly
too.
Behaved countries.
Terrible, awful. So basically, but the point is that people who aren't governments don't have nukes.
Yeah.
So the thought that like an insane Japanese cult might have had one is obviously very
frightening. Very alarming.
It's incredibly alarming. Because there's evidence that they tried to recruit Russian nuclear scientists. There's evidence that they wanted to mine uranium in Banjoan.
Oh, fuck. I was going to say there'd be uranium.
Which does have a uranium deposit. Later on, when investigators went there, on the back of Harry Mason's testimony or evidence.
Bless him.
They good on you, Harry Mason.
Any relation to you, Mel?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'd love it to be, but I'm pretty
probably not. Yeah.
I don't have any relatives in Australia besides my immediate family. Mm. Maybe he's like my long-lost...
It could be. Your long-lost...
Older brother, very much older.
Seen one picture of him and he looks very old.
Okay, that doesn't work.
And he was old in the mid-90s.
He's my real dad.
He's quite possibly dead, I don't know. But
new theory, he's my real dad.
R.I.P. Harry Mason. King. I mean, and like, it's quite like, whether this guy was like a complete crank or not, it's funny that like his like little brain fart basically got
made
to the very
right
top
to
of like the American
the
security.
White House.
Like, yeah, like this, like Senate investigations into what this like nutty Australian geologist said. But
in the New York Times article, is that when it first appeared?
So they were speculating on what it actually might have been, because at the heart of it, whether it was a nuke or not, there's still a mystery of like what the fuck exploded out in the outback.
Yeah.
All this time ago. Because they've never found a crater which would suggest that it was a meteor.
Right.
So they're wondering about that. But the current like big theory that's non-nuclear test related is that it was like the Tunguska event in Russia. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. It's where
he says to us, "Will it?"
Well, I feel like I know that.
You might have heard of it. It's kind of one of the when you look into like weird mysteries, like in the same way that like the Dyatlov Pass incident comes up. See, I'm bringing it back into all of Mystery Hour territory.
Get me started.
In the same way that always comes up,
yeah,
the Tunguska event comes up too. Okay. The Tunguska event was like 1910 or something in Russia when something exploded.
Okay.
With like the force of like 1,000 nuclear bombs.
Whoa.
And flattened like thousands and thousands of square kilometers worth of forest. Mm-hmm. So just like forest over the horizon as far as you can see, just completely knocked down.
Fuck.
And like people that were heaps far away got like third degree burns. Like really intense sort of thing. And the current sort of like thought of what happened is that what people think might have happened here is that a meteor came into the Earth's atmosphere that exploded. So it didn't hit the ground.
It just exploded.
Didn't lose a big crater.
Right.
It just got went in the air and exploded.
Or aliens.
That's the other thing I wanted to
say. Oh, did
to.
I jump ahead? This is, see, I don't normally
can
Jason
I say
this.
Something?
No, I just,
before
I,
we get
I,
to
I, just I just like, I, you inspired me.
Oh,
I hadn't
now
thought
I've
of the alien angle
a
on
new
this.
Theory.
And now you're bringing it in. You're bringing it in.
Because I was listening to a case file while I was off sick for 3 days. I got through a fuckload of case file.
Nice.
And I didn't know, you know, they're people's names. So I wasn't familiar with the guy's name. It was a two-parter. I was like, all right, I'll bite. And the like little teaser was about the night sky lighting up and in Germany and like crazy fire. And it was that plane, the planes that collided in mid-air. And then the guy killed the flight air traffic controller.
Yep.
What?
So the episode's named after the air traffic controller.
Oh,
then
like,
it all came back to me.
No,
but basically
all
of those, they didn't at first see the planes or any wreckage. They just saw all these weird lights and they're like aliens.
Yes. Which
and
we,
then
we do love to do
like
that.
An airline seat fell into the lady's yard and she's like, okay, that's not aliens, that's
it
some terrible
aliens,
catastrophe.
Yes.
But I'm guessing since nothing was found,
nothing was
it's
this
not
is the
planes
yeah.
colliding.
The theory is this, and because like they have the historical like geological readings, you know, when they've got like the needle that bounces around and shows their stuff, and the readings they have don't match what a nuclear bomb would be like.
Okay.
Which is one of which was like the core part of the evidence. When they came and investigated, they were like, "Nah, probably not. It was obviously something, like something exploded."
But the
out
ground
there.
Didn't.
Yeah,
so you
like
mean
it
like
didn't.
A seismology
there's
thing.
Yeah, this is a seismology thing. It's like some, like nuclear
those
bombs have like a really specific kind of reading.
And the man
that you
rips it off and he runs to his supervisor
and
he's
goes,
like,
"Look at this!
Look
yeah.
at this!
Yeah.
He throws
yeah,
it
like
down.
In Day After Tomorrow slash any movie,
yes.
Volcano, whatever,
yeah.
yep.
all that shit."
Yeah.
Well. But if it exploded in the air, in midair, wouldn't it still send like a like if you're talking about the one
the meteor
tingle,
shit, like
tingle
Tunguska or Tunguska or something
Tunguska
yeah
because
yeah.
it flattened the tree so some
yeah.
sort of
yeah.
there was some sort of like
a
air pressure
meteor.
Something that has like affected
yeah.
the ground.
Well, I think it was literally like a matter of scale, like the reading that they had in Australia in Banjawan would have corresponded to like a small nuclear weapon, like smaller.
Right.
If it was a nuke, which it obviously doesn't seem to be, it would have been smaller than the one that was dropped on Hiroshima, for example. Whereas in the Tunguska event one, it was like the equivalent of like 1,000.
Right, 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 right. Yes, yes,
like
yes,
a really
gotcha.
Massive one. And so it's not like, I love the Tunguska one. I think it's wild because a lot of scientists now are like, well, obviously there was no way they could have seen it coming back then. This was like 1910.
Yeah.
But they're like, if that had come and just like hit a city, that would be insane. That would have just, like, destroyed a whole city.
Yeah. Like, New York gone.
Look, yeah,
what are
New
the
York
chances
gone.
That it was just, like, in the wilds of Russia?
Yeah.
Well, this is the
that's
weird
why
thing,
I think
though. I think this is because we think so small. What the fuck am I talking about? We think small in a way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Sydney is really big.
Mm.
I can see you both looking.
No,
at me like,
I know, no, I know. I'm going to jump in with a fact.
Sydney's probably big. It's got it's
so
a big,
Sydney's
big
really
city.
Big, right?
Well, look at the vanishing Cessna, the Barrington Tops.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Well, this
and
is
they
the
haven't
thing.
Found a plane
like,
there.
There's so much of Australia, mm-hmm. for example. Mm. It's like I went to. So I went to the Wolf Creek crater, like the crater
yep.
that
yep.
they go to in the Wolf Creek movie. It's yes. based around there. John Jarrett wasn't there as Mick. What's his name? I did get scared though because I was the only car there, and you have to go through like actual
no,
farms.
I hate that.
So you actually drive into like properties. No.
I
probably stations
around.
To be honest, and you drive like through gates that you have to open and close and stuff.
No,
like literal
you have to get out.
To get in and out, yeah.
Mm. You got and out of the car when you're by yourself.
Yeah, you have to get out of the car and open the.
It's
daytime.
Oh, is that?
You open the gate and then you drive through. Stop. It's very annoying. This happens a lot in the outback. A lot of like things, like even the bungle bungles, like you know the bungle bungles. They're like. Those amazing like stripy mountain rock yep. formations. Mm. That's like a very big national treasure.
Yep.
That is on someone's fucking property.
Yeah.
So you have to drive through gates to for that
oh,
as well.
Right.
And like open and close gates and shit. It's just weird. This is a very outback Australia thing.
Yeah,
but anyway,
totally.
My point being, that's not the point that I had to drive through properties, but I'm just telling you it is quite creepy and scary. And there was this weird shed and it had all this spray paint all over it. It looked abandoned. And then I started going over and then I heard this
no.
big bang.
No.
And then this horse was like, and I was, no, the horse was away from
oh.
it. I don't know what did the bang. I assume another horse, probably, but also maybe a murderer. Don't
possibly
know.
A murderer.
I would think
or
that the murderer
meteorite.
Would want me to
have
come close.
Have you thought about a
very
small
tiny meteorite
that entered the atmosphere and exploded?
The size
teeny
of a rock.
One.
Just a little one. Tiny. Just enough to scare you.
Just a little
yeah.
little baby.
Baby.
Just little a baby little baby.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Blah, blah, blah. That meteor is, that crater, sorry, is huge.
Yeah. Mm.
Like fucking massive. Just in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
So I guess it's like.
Yeah, it's like yeah, totally. It's like the one that they think killed the dinosaurs or whatever. Is
yeah.
Like a massive crater in I think Mexico or something like that.
Yeah.
It's in Mexico, and again, it's like an absolutely vast sort of thing.
Like
and
the chance of it hitting. I guess what I mean is like the chance of something from space hitting something with a massive population is actually slimmer than we think because there's so
yes.
much water and so much like bare
yeah.
land on the, on
yeah,
the
totally,
planet.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I don't really know
what
that side point was. I think that was just me kind of talking about
thinking
meteors and that other thing.
Yeah.
But
can we get back to the aliens?
Yeah, sorry. Let's go back to the – you tell us your newly found alien theory.
Well, I was just spitballing after you said it was
alien. Oh, and I interrupted
so
with the vanishing
system. I don't know, but like I've sort of lost it, but maybe it was an alien.
Oh, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Wow.
Maybe like think of like a UFO and it had like a big gun on it and it sort of shot – the earth and it explodes. I don't know. See, like, you need to help me here because
well,
I'm making
this
up.
Well, it's hard because this is the thing with
is this
shit in the
WA?
Outback.
Yeah.
But there were no markers found. There was just explosions in the sky, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm. And it was literally all they have is like truckers and assorted weirdos being like, I saw it. I saw it with
it's
my own
weird
two
out
eyes.
There because it's like, I guess at night you've only got like road trains and shit.
Yeah. Mm. And they're the people that said they saw and heard like a massive
explosion.
How many
eyewitnesses were there?
I can't remember, but I think it was like a small number,
yeah.
like a few truckers.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was apparently really
one.
Big. So a lot of people, I mean, there probably weren't that many people out there, but across along that highway and in the communities around there were like, yeah, we saw the sky light up. We saw things like that. So that's what they think it was. It's crazy to me that it was like coincidentally around the same time.
Yes.
That the Omshin
like
Rikyo were there.
And with yeah. and they had a like creepy lab and they had
a creepy lab. They were interested in building a nuke. Mm-hmm. Whether they did is obviously
maybe they built another kind of bomb that
yeah
would,
that's what I was going to say
that would make that kind of effect
yeah,
but
yeah.
not
maybe yeah it was
because
the equivalent
did they
it was
test like, for radiation when they went to the property
yeah because they I don't think they found any apart from like the residual radiation of like the uranium deposits and things like that
right.
Because there's so much of it under the ground out there.
Yeah, so it's like you can't
it's a bit
tell.
Hard.
It's kind of
yeah.
hard to tell. It's kind of hard to tell. But and also it's because one other thing like I forgot to mention is that a lot of people forget the fact that nuclear bombs have been detonated in Australia.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just
so
about to say
Mataranka.
Numerous, like
I remember the whole like it was all in the papers when I was a kid.
Out in Maralinga.
Maralinga. Where's
yeah.
Mataranka? Anyway. Maralinga. I was going to go also to Maralinga.
When
not
did
on
that
it.
Happen?
That happened 1952 through 1957. 12.
That's in South Australia, isn't it? Like
wasn't
North
there
South
a whole
Australia.
Debate? I remember there being a debate.
Huge debate.
In the 90s about doing it again.
Yeah.
Like doing it again or mining for uranium? Or
yeah, there's like, it was cold because like even back in the 50s, the polling showed that like 75% of the country were like strongly opposed to these tests happening.
Do not do that.
Yeah, because the tests were all done by the Brits. So basically the Americans dropped a bomb at the end of World War II. Basically the whole world was like, what the fuck is that? Like, we need to get me one of those. Yeah. And so they all started doing their own tests and the Brits had all these colonial sort of properties or like, and so they were doing a lot of tests out in the Pacific. And then
Is that Bikini Atoll?
Yeah, Atoll.
Yes, yeah. And the Australian... Bikini Atoll was the French doing their tests, but there were other ones.
There was... We had an atoll as well.
Yeah, there was a couple around there. And then obviously the Australian government were like, hey, we have all this open land that you can blow up all these bombs. And like 12 bombs were detonated out there.
Don't worry about like, all the Aboriginal communities living there because that's the thing that happened. Yes. They just totally didn't tell people.
Yeah, they didn't tell anyone. And there was a... I wrote a quote down here. Investigators or whatever was said, an Aboriginal person living a semi-traditional lifestyle would receive an effective radiation dose 5 times that allowed for the member of the public within 120 kilometers of that test site.
What?
So like a huge thing. And like there were, obviously there were lots of indigenous communities, lots of non-indigenous communities out there as well. Who would have been caught in like the fallout from wind blowing over there.
Yeah.
And it's just, they had the same thing in the US. There are a lot of communities who call themselves downwinders who say, you know, over the next 30 years after these tests, we've had like a massively higher incidences of cancer and things like that. So nukes have been detonated in Australia. Just hopefully not one by a crazy Japanese cult.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. That's wild.
What a wild story.
Yeah, I think...
What's your personal theory on it?
I mean, I think it was probably... I think it was probably exactly what they think, like a meteor exploding up in the upper atmosphere. The other theory, which I think is maybe credible, is that it was a mine explosion. So like a mine had basically...
But wouldn't they know? Yeah, you mean an abandoned mine?
But they don't know because there are so many around there that are collapsed and explode and whatever. Right. But the problem with that theory is that the explosion...
Josie put up her hand just then. Some amazing areas.
I just have a question for Hanno when he finishes his thought.
That was funny.
And the problem with that one is that it would have been... I think I wrote down, it's like 700 times larger than the biggest known mine explosion. So probably not.
So there would have been a problem.
Probably not. But anyway, yes.
My question is that was designed to not interrupt Hanno and then you did interrupt by pointing out that I had my hand up.
But it was funny.
I find it very upsetting.
My thing is, if it's the 90s and not 1910 and there is technology to see meteors coming, wouldn't they have clocked? Because we're seeing it all the time. There's a meteor that's going to go within 5,000 kilometers, whatever. Like they're reporting on them when they're close, in inverted commas. Yeah. This one came.
Yeah. They're all, I mean, because like shit goes into our atmosphere like all the time. And most of it, it's really like a lot of like meteors and small asteroids or whatever are always enter our atmosphere and normally burning up because they're so small.
Right. Okay.
So and that is tracked. But like the thing is, it was just one of those. Like one that's like way too small to cause any actual damage. But big enough that it
made
up
like
the sky.
A light show.
Yeah,
basically.
And like basically like an earthquake kind of thing. Because the other theory is that it's literally just an earthquake, and the people who said they saw lights in the sky were just insane.
Right.
But there's not a whole lot of activity like that out in
and
that part
of the
country.
What are the chances of all these separate people
making
the same reports?
Yeah, totally. So
if it was a bunch of people together, like Westall, which I'm dying to cover on this podcast, but it's a lot of research. But
the what one, sorry?
Westall UFO.
Oh, yeah.
So when there's a lot of people that see it together and they can inform each other's accounts, it's a little less credible sometimes. But when there's 5 different truckies all calling in and being like, hey, the sky just lit up, the authorities would be more likely to be like, maybe it did.
Yeah.
You know, what are the chances of them all? You know, if one person's mad, some crazy person walking along the road's like, I saw the sky light up.
Yeah.
But then if like, oh, there's others.
Crazy old Pete.
Old Pete.
Yeah,
and
old
truckers
Pete. He's always seeing things, you know?
We've got a couple of truckies.
Yeah, we do.
In the group who are big fans.
Okay.
And I've probably seen on their long bouts. I mean, they have shared. There was a guy that shared a wild fucking story in the group.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That was insane. That was an alien.
Yeah, it was definitely
What did
alien.
He say?
Like a something banged on his truck.
Oh, no, this, that's not.
Was that the Yowie?
No, not the Yowie.
There was like nothing. He didn't actually see anything, but there was a bang and then the dog was barking and then he drove to another part of the town or a guy came past and was like, you need to get out of here. Like weird things happen around here.
Oh my God.
It was in the group ages
now
ago.
Now I need to go find
that
again.
It was fucking insane. I tagged you at that. I remember seeing it.
I'm
going to
go
like,
find
mind
it again.
Blown.
I can't remember that.
Must read this.
Truckies see some
They do.
Yeah,
they totally. Would see some shit too. Mm-hmm. Like you're going through the most remote parts of Australia at the dead of night. Mm-hmm. You're going to fucking see some shit.
Yeah.
I am with your potential theory about Josie. I'm pointing at Josie. Oh. That's me pointing.
You need to say this now. Cause
I know.
Yeah,
I forget that we're not being filmed.
Now.
You need to create a visual sort of tapestry for them to tap into.
We do try to. We try. Josie's wearing a Metallica shirt today.
Yeah. No makeup. I look like shit. I've taken a photo. I'm doing some social posting, but I've only taken a photo of Hanno.
Yeah.
There were no photos of me.
I'm fine with that.
I could filter myself.
Yeah, you could put the little cat face on yourself.
Put the beauty filter
on, you know? But your theory that it was a different explosion, like maybe they were like, okay, I'm going to sound dumb, but what's an atom bomb?
It's the same thing.
It's the same as
it's another bomb. Yeah, there's an atom bomb, nuclear bomb. Same
what
thing.
About a okay. dirty bomb? Same
a,
thing?
So a dirty bomb is the one...
Why do you know everything about bombs?
Uh-oh.
I find nukes interesting. Sorry, they're taking a photo.
Oh, that's horrible angle. Continue.
Awful.
You find
awful.
You find weapons of mass destruction fascinating.
I do find them interesting, but like a dirty bomb is just like basically, it's the idea of like a really hastily put together nuke, which is not intended to be like fired off in a missile or like dropped. It's just something that.
When
people talk about dirty bombs, they're like, a dirty bomb is something that like a terrorist group like Al-Qaeda or something could just throw together.
Yeah.
And they don't really care if it's not that well made. And they just take it into the middle of a city and explodes.
Right.
And it makes like a big nuclear explosion.
Right.
And it's not like a really cool honed weapon of war. It's just something that's meant to kill as many people
but
as possible.
But have they ever been detonated?
No, it's all
theoretical.
It's just
a theory.
It's
okay,
all theoretical.
Right.
Because like I said, and one thing that you need to keep in mind is that it's really, really hard to make a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
It's
like that's why in every
you can't just
like
make it casually.
You can't just make one. It's
every like Bourne Identity movie is about like a nuclear physicist getting kidnapped from Russia and like the terrorists want him to make it. Even actually I rewatched Iron Man.
Oh my God, yes.
And because I'm doing all the Marvel movies in not chronological order because that's stupid. Release order. So I've watched a few of them and in Iron Man they actually kidnap Tony Stark to make
They make the suit. They want him to make
the
suit.
No, he makes the suit.
He makes the suit.
They want him
cheekily.
To make a bomb.
They want him to make a bomb.
And then he makes the suit.
And then he makes the suit and then Iron Man's born. But yeah, in all these other movies it's like
it's always about that.
The knowledge of the nuclear physicist
is what's which is what they were talking about like this Om Shinrikyo wanted to hire like Russian nuclear scientists to help them make a nuke. It's pretty crazy like they before they finally settled on sarin gas. Because they realized that it was relatively easy for them to synthesize it and they could get it in there pretty early. They were like playing around with all kinds of biological agents. I guess
because he was a pharmacist. He was into that.
Yeah, he was into it. And like they went through like lots of... They had all these like research, basically like an operating research lab to try to work out if they could release sort of like a disease into
the
Japanese
plague.
Society. And they tried to do it. Like they got a whole bunch of... I've written it down what they got.
I love diseases. This is so my
areas. Like botulism, like the botulism toxin.
God. Well, now we just put that in our faces.
Yeah. Which
I've absolutely put that into my face. I'm just going to tell everyone right now.
That's cool.
I haven't. Julian said he'd break up with me if I did that.
I've had it multiple times. Can attest. It's a great one. Botox. Woo. Mel supports Botox.
What else? What other diseases?
What other diseases?
They extracted the botulinum toxin.
What is that? So the botulinum, I'm assuming that it makes muscles deteriorate.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure what it does specifically, but obviously it's...
Because that's what Botox does, is it makes that muscle deteriorate rapidly, but then it can build itself back up. That's why I have to keep going back.
And they actually managed to they extracted it from river soil samples. So that's a really high-tech sort of operation here. And they actually managed to get a whole bunch of this awful botulism slurry. And they released a and they like turned into a gas or something, and they released it on Tokyo. So they tried to do it, and just nothing happened. Right. Like they didn't. Nobody. And then
good.
They. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I'm like, I sounded disappointed. I was so just on the edge of my seat.
You're like, I want a mass epidemic. Pandemic.
And then they experimented with anthrax.
Oh, which obviously yes. And that had its heyday again after 9/11.
Anthrax
didn't
had a heyday. Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
In the mail.
Mm. I was like, anthrax is such a cool name.
Yes.
It makes it sound like coming from...
Is it because a metal band named themselves after
it? I think it might. I think it's just because it has an X in it.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
Sarin
literally
sounds badass.
Sarin doesn't sound as... Sarin sounds way more like
Sarin
refined.
Sounds like someone combined Susan and Karen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not
like
sure.
A bad baby name.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they didn't... I can't remember why they didn't end up going with that. Maybe they just couldn't get the right quantity. But
well, isn't anthrax that you have to breathe in the powder?
I mean, obviously, they did the same thing with the sarin, I guess.
But the sarin releases a gas, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe
right.
It had wider...
Yeah. Maybe they had some big, nice brainstorming sessions that are like, what kind of what can we do?
Paper, what's a bit of a mind map.
Like, yeah, what's well, our, this one's cool.
What's our aim here? Do we want to kill, like, 3 people that inhale it, or do we want more people with gas?
Just take out a whole train.
A whole carriage.
What do we want to do, folks?
Yeah.
No idea is a bad idea.
The pharmacist up the front in his white coat.
Yeah.
Did he have long grey hair?
He had long hair and a beard. He had he was like the Japanese Charles Manson sort of look.
Did he look like, because I thought he would look like Mr. Burns when he goes crazy and then he's wearing the tissue boxes on his feet.
I think it's kind of similar. Maybe
fantastic.
I'm going to pull up
exactly
a picture.
Right.
You're not
put
be able
a
to see
picture
it.
In the group. Heno will put Heno, a picture in the group.
You have to. Your response.
This is
yes,
your
you
episode.
Okay.
You have to.
Right,
you fucking
right.
will.
All right.
So messy.
Oh, God.
That was, like, super fascinating. I didn't know half that shit. I only knew that they had
like,
property.
Japanese Charles Manson kind of
oh,
look.
My God. He totally
like, he's
is.
Got, like, the
oh,
cult,
yeah.
He's got the cult leader
yes.
look.
Yes. He'll share it with you guys. We'll handle it.
I thought he was... In my head, he was older.
Yeah. I thought all grey, but...
So, he was 63 when he died last year. So...
Yeah.
He would have been, what, in his 40s? Like,
right,
30s, 40s?
Okay.
Yeah.
A young, charismatic cult leader.
He does look young and charismatic there.
He death by hanging. I guess they still do that.
Wow.
Well, you can elect. Can you in America still?
I don't think you can still do that in America.
You can say, and this is what I would do. You can, well, you could say that you want to be killed by firing squad, which I just think is so extra.
Yeah.
But then you've got that chance that you're going to die really fucking slowly.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather just not feel pain. I would like to... get the lethal injection, thank you.
But even that can be the worst.
What about old
can
Sparky?
Yeah,
100%. I thought it was like comfy and...
No. Lethal injection, like, and there was a lot of... This is obviously very wild off topic, but it's good.
They well, we're finished now. We can talk about
these because there's like a trillion different drugs you can use in like a lethal injection.
What?
Like, and they all have their sort of like...
pros and cons.
I was literally going to say pros and cons, but I was like, that's very morbid.
Kills people.
We've gone too morbid.
But there was like a whole big scandal like last year or the year before in one of the states in the US, which still executes people.
Botched.
Where it was like a certain drug they were using was just awful. Like the death wasn't quick. It was like incredibly painful. But there was like a weird... sort of corruption thing with the company that was making the chemical and like the governor, you know, like one of those really American,
a very American situation.
Yeah, where there's kickbacks for someone that makes drugs for executions or whatever. Anyway, so my point is, it might be bad to be killed by.
It's probably bad in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
because the electric chair sometimes malfunctions.
Oh well, that's
we've all seen the Green Mile, folks. We've all seen the Green Mile.
We have.
I actually have forgotten the Green Mile, and maybe
same.
I don't want to.
I teared up watching the Green Mile.
I'm just thinking about that large man that watched that Ginger Rogers. No, Ginger Rogers, Fred and Ginger. He was watching the movie and he's like, they're like angels.
Oh, yeah.
I always cry in that bit.
It's a bit like, it's a very nice movie.
It is moving stuff. And the little kid gets executed.
Yeah.
Mm. What? I don't remember any of this.
You need to rewatch. It's a great film.
Yeah, well, I feel like I just got a real good retelling of
everything.
Yeah, that's
it. We just did what Tom did with that Case File episode. We just did with the Green Mile. Oh, and Tom Hanks. I didn't mention him. I'm mentioning him.
He's there. He's also there.
He's just kind of the emotional guard who gets... moved to tears. Is he racist and then he becomes not racist? Is it a bit of a Green Book situation?
I think he's kind of sensitive from the beginning.
Right. Of course he is. It's Tom fucking Hanks.
Yeah. There are racist guards around him, but he is like, you know.
He's empathetic.
He's empathetic. He sees into, yeah.
He's a woke guard.
He's a woke prison guard in the American South in the 1930s. Yes. If such a thing existed.
That was so good.
Thanks so much, Henno. Yes,
thanks okay. for being our guest.
Henno stayed back to do this.
It's, yeah, no, I have.
Whoa. It's a huge, a monumental minutes. Effort from him.
Yeah, no.
We thank you.
I'd like to leave on time.
We thank you for your, what did you say? For being thorough.
Thank you for being thorough. I think it's like...
I like it.
I'm into it. Because it's a little bit of a... It's a backhanded compliment.
It is.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a threat, really.
Because it's like other people aren't.
Yeah. Well, that's not who you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I mean when I say it.
I feel like it's a threat. It's sort of like a sort of a threatening thing of like, don't ever stop being thorough.
That's what I meant when I said it to the doctor because other doctors hadn't been.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then this one was like very thorough and like figured out I had a chest infection when the other one could have told me that 4 days earlier.
Yeah.
But she didn't listen to my chest, did she? So that's what I meant. I was like, thanks for being thorough because your colleagues aren't.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah. The whisper is the implied bit of that compliment.
It is. It's the silent.
So, Henno, thank you for being thorough.
That's all right. Thank you for your... Oh, my God. Thank you for your hospitality.
Yeah.
And, are you Googling what to say in response?
No.
And we'll see you, Henno. Well, we'll see you at work. But we'll also see you at the All Aussie Mystery Hour live show, which, if you've forgotten, is on sale now. Go to giantdwarf.com.au. It's on in Redfern in Sydney. If you're not from Sydney, sorry.
It's
called a plane, doll. Get on it.
FIFO it.
I'm skeptical it'll be worth the flight. I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Way harsh.
I'm sure it's going to be amazing. And look, I'm taking myself down here too because as
you all
know, I'm emceeing it or introducing it.
I know doing a full stand-up Netflix.
I don't know about that.
Sure.
But I'm just saying that if you were planning on, you know, flying from
Perth.
Nah,
fly. Do it.
Do it.
You know.
I went to Hawaii for My Favorite Murder.
Yeah, you did.
And it was fucking worth it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be so worth
it. So if you're from Hawaii,
fly
over.
I'm not going to guarantee it. I don't want to pay anyone money.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not guaranteeing it.
$20, folks, like we said.
It's 20. Yeah. Like, it's I've had a bad big salad for $20.
Yeah, so many times.
Yeah.
Also, I think we should have a thread in the group of guessing what Henno looks like based off just his voice. In
yes,
very
like
case file anonymous vibes. You can Google him, but don't
you
do
could,
it.
You could really easily Google me.
Yeah,
also,
just
I've
don't.
Commented in the group.
Also, yeah,
but
no
Facebook
one, photo will come up.
Your head is tiny in your photo. It's like the smallest.
Unlike in real
bit.
Life.
It's like, unlike in real
sorry,
life.
Sorry, that was a clue.
Spoiler.
So that's it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, wait, I'm taking a selfie. Leave your things on.